Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, that would be us. Good evening, everyone, as we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. It's all brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more in car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Torres and Spanier in for Jason Smith and his best friend, Mike Harmon. So much going on a great sports talk radio night. By the way, you know what starts in 2 weeks, don't you, Torres? NBA preseason.
Yeah, I know. It's so crazy. What a weird
December 11th, in 14 days. It starts in exactly 2 weeks. Well, we're going to get NBA preseason. How great is that? We're going to get two preseason games, and then it's going to end the 19th and right into the season. How great is that?
It's so funny. Like, so Bernie just texted me during the break. He likes me more than
you. He doesn't text me during the break.
I was going to say, he likes me more than you. So
he does
me
like you. Yes, he does. Yeah.
No, but you bring up the NBA preseason starting late. He brought up the point that if the Big Ten, and for people who are just tuning in, Ohio State, Illinois is canceled tomorrow. If the Big Ten just hadn't canceled in August and just said, let's wait and see, and if they had started on time, Michigan, Ohio State would be tomorrow. How about that?
Michigan, Ohio State would be tomorrow.
Yeah.
They would keep the original schedule, I guess, is what you're thinking then.
Yeah, I mean, and there's always a possibility the COVID outbreak could have happened and Michigan, Ohio State would be postponed. It just goes to, you know, I was yelling and screaming last segment, but I stand by what I said. It was just so unnecessary, so over the top. We want to prove how smart we are. We're going to cancel and everybody's going to follow our lead. And I give credit to the ACC, Big Ten, and SEC for holding their ground, saying we're going to trust our doctors. We're going to wait and see. Doesn't mean we're playing, but we're going to wait and see. And I'm just so frustrated with this whole thing.
Really, we should have just started and then seen what would have happened after that. Just like the SEC did from day one. We're in. We want to play. Let's play. Agreed. If something happens, we'll work around it. We'll do this. We'll cancel. We'll postpone. We'll change times. We'll change days. We'll work with it. If we can't, then forget about it. But let's at least start. That was the thinking we should have gone with from day one, probably.
Yeah, and I mean, that was always my opinion. And the crazy thing about all this is that the Big Ten actually had the perfect setup at the beginning. They were going to start in early September. They had two bye weeks built in, and then there would have also been an extra week at the end of the schedule, maybe even extra 2 weeks if they needed it, to make up any games that were missed. It was the perfect setup. The school presidents, we've talked about this for 5 months now, Arnie, but the school presidents wanted to show the world how smart they are. We care so much, and we know so much more than everybody else. And if they had just been patient, all of this could have been avoided.
By the way, if Ohio State does miss another game and is ineligible for the Big Ten Championship, they could schedule another game, though. They could schedule like BYU or Cincinnati.
No, yeah, I don't think the Big Ten can. The Pac-12 added this week that you could do out-of-conference games, but not the Big Ten.
I think they're going to change that because I'm looking at Pete Futek saying they could schedule BYU or Cincinnati, get the resume win that they are missing, and it'll be easier for the college football playoff, assuming that it's a dominant Buckeye win. I don't know if they're changing rules by the minute. And that could be a possibility, but things are going to have to change if we're going to move forward. We do have to get more teams in. We have to figure out how to have like maybe a mini, you know, like the winner of the two separate half of the divisions. Winner goes to the to the playoff. We got to figure this out now, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
there's going to be a change. I really think there'll be more of a change than the way it is right now.
I think the biggest thing is the Big Ten just has to change this dumb rule that you have to get in seven games or six games or whatever it is to qualify for the conference championship game. It's six games, obviously. It's not seven. But I think that's the number one thing. I just don't know how you can, in the middle of a pandemic, put a cap or a minimum. I guess it would be a minimum on number of games. Like, we knew there was going to be cancellations. We knew there was going to be issues. It's just the leadership is so idiotic, Arnie. I cannot express this enough. And it's just been so frustrating to watch one bad decision after another. And listen, We talked about it. Pete brought up a couple good points. I mean, DeSager brought it up. How about this? Maryland beats Indiana tomorrow. Maryland misses one more game. Ohio State misses one more game. The third place team from the division is going to play for the quote-unquote championship.
I love it.
By the time this is all done, Michigan's going to end up finally winning their Big Ten East championship. So
I just want to know what the listeners think. Do you think we should shut it down? Do you think this is getting too crazy? Do we still continue and full steam ahead? Do we change the rules for the conference championships or the national championship? Do we take more teams? You know, are we just throwing stuff against the wall, which is what we're doing, or do we just take it day by day? At this point, I think I'm open to all suggestions. Aaron_Torres, I'm at Stinking Genius One, so get in there. I'm watching this Oregon State game. Oregon leads 38-34, about 1 minute, coming up on a minute left in the game. Oregon State with the ball down by four, and they have it on the Oregon 17-yard line, and the clock running. So this is going to come down to the wire. This has been a good one. I love it. Who would have thought that this one was going to be close, and now they're going to have it first down in the five, on the five. All right, Baltimore-Pittsburgh. Let's get to that one, because that one also got moved. They were going to play it from Thanksgiving to Sunday. Now it's going to be Tuesday, and then they're going to have to move the next Thursday game, which is Baltimore and the Cowboys, I believe, to the following Monday. Did I get all that right, Torres? Or are we just too confused at this
point? Did you divide the three by the, you know, the underscore? Yeah, I think that was all right, yes.
I mean, it's starting to get a little crazy now. Even in the NFL, Pittsburgh fans are screaming bloody murder. The Steeler players are screaming, saying that they got their bye week taken away, and now this is happening. I think we're closing in on maybe getting eight teams now in the playoffs, and they won't even have a bye week that first week. But we had to do this. This was getting out of hand there too.
Well, and it's just so crazy because it's a divisional game. You have to get in the division. Obviously, there's playoff implications for Pittsburgh. There's playoff implications for Baltimore. So I get it. But I mean, and you know, to me, you know where I stand on all this, Arnie, is that I'm not as upset by all of it as everybody else. I think that we all kind of realized coming into the season that it was going to be unprecedented. But it is crazy, all the changes that have been made, all the things that are being adjusted. No Thursday night football for a second time this year. So
right.
It is what it is, you know.
I thought it took away. We were on the air last night. I really felt like we lost out on that Thanksgiving football experience. We had two dog games. I mean, we had four teams we really didn't care about. Even if they were dog games and they were good teams, maybe it'd be a little bit better. I mean, yes, the Cowboys have an appeal, and there was a division kind of on the line, no matter how crappy that division is. But no late game. I don't know. Maybe I'm spoiled, Torres, but I felt the lack of that great football that we usually have on Thanksgiving.
Well, there's no doubt, and it didn't help that we did have those two dog games. Shout out to Claire, the dog that actually won the dog show while there were dog games were going on. Had a lot of conversation about Claire. If you missed it, go back and listen to the podcast. But no, I mean, we have been spoiled, and I mean, I think that was the one saving grace that we were all looking forward to, knowing we were getting Lions, Texans, Cowboys, Washington. Well, at least we get Steelers, Ravens. Steelers, obviously, they're undefeated. Best team in the NFL right now, at least record-wise. You can argue if maybe KC or somebody else is better. But not getting it, man. Yeah, it just felt like there was a huge void, a huge damper on the day. And not on the day, but it would have been nice. So many people stuck at home, not traveling, not with family. Such a bummer that we didn't get that game in.
Let me ask you this. Is it bad for sports? Think about this. Look at all the great iconic teams and programs, Penn State, Michigan, the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, how bad is it? It used to be the Lakers until they just recently won a championship. My New York Knicks. How bad is it that iconic teams like that are just so far down in the dumps? I really feel like it's taken away from something. You know what I mean? I feel like we're missing out because it was, I mean, San Francisco, 49ers, the Golden State Warriors. I feel like a lot of the great teams are down in the dumps, and we're missing out on some great, some great rivalries now.
Did you just say a team that made the Super Bowl and another one that made four straight NBA Finals because they had one bad year down in the dumps? That feels a little aggressive.
Who are you talking about? The Lakers?
No, I'm talking about the Warriors and the San Francisco 49ers.
And the Warriors lost Klay Thompson also. And, yeah, it was a bad year for them, and I don't know what's going to happen the year coming up also.
Yeah, there are bad brands in sports. You know what's crazy is, you know, the Cowboys are one that comes to mind.
Yeah. That one hurts. Yeah.
To be frank, Washington was a great football franchise for a while. And I do think they're trending in the right direction with Ron Rivera, but they're obviously still years away from being competitive at the highest level. I don't know if it takes away. I mean, I watched the Bucks-Rams game the other night. I watched the Bucks-Chiefs. I'm going to watch it on Sunday. So I don't know if it really takes that much away. Frankly, I don't know. Maybe I'm just happy that we have sports.
You know, talking about mediocrity, think if you were like a Bears fan. You've made moves. You thought you had the quarterback. You got Khalil Mack. And you're still 500. You're still no better for the wear or any closer to the Super Bowl than you were before you got all these guys that made all these moves out there, you know?
That is one of those organizations, like, I don't know how you could be a fan of that organization, right? Because it's one thing if you're really bad and you know you got no shot, but as you said, they've made moves. They do have difference-making stars at certain positions, but they haven't figured out the quarterback, and you're not really bad where you have hope like you're the New York Jets, and you're not obviously good like the Packers or the Chiefs or whomever. The Bears specifically are like a real – I just feel bad for their fans.
You know what it is? It's all the New York teams. The Jets, the Giants, the Knicks. They're just dragging down the sports karma is what it is. Just every team is bad out there, and it just sucks, you know?
So Derek Jeter took all the good vibes, and when he retired, the captain took them all.
The Jets used to be iconic, and the Giants, you know, and look at them now. They're embarrassment. They're a laughing stock on how bad they are right now, Torres.
I don't disagree. I mean, it was crazy for a point where we thought the two worst teams in the NFL were both based in New York. Now, I give Joe Judge credit because he's got that team playing hard. Now, they happen to be in the worst division, not only in football, but one of the worst divisions in my lifetime.
Yes.
It's kind of crazy that they're both so bad. What's crazy to me, Arnie, and Jets fans will bring this up to you all the time. The Jets have played in two AFC championship games in the last decade, or 11, I think 11 years, whatever it is. It wasn't ancient history. I know we talked about this last night with the Lions, but like the Lions have never been relevant. The Browns have essentially never been relevant, certainly since they moved back to Cleveland. The Jets were playing to go to the Super Bowl like 9 years ago. It's just crazy how bad they are and how fast they've gotten there.
All right. You want to get in Aaron _ Torres. I'm at Stinkin' Genius One. I believe they're reviewing a play. I don't know what the whole hubbub is going on in the Oregon State game, but Oregon's still with the 38-34 lead. It is going to be third and goal from like the 2-inch yard line, though. I thought on second and goal they got in. So I guess the natural thing was to review it, but Oregon State doesn't have a timeout. If they review it, and I guess if they didn't get in, do they burn the 10 seconds? I'm not sure if that's rules in college, but there's a lot of talking. I don't know if they're going to look at this one or what, but 38-34, Oregon State down by four, and right now they're saying third and goal with 36 seconds left in the game. Woo!
Great
game. What a good one that is.
By the way, you talk about all these crazy scenarios about the college football playoff. We've just kind of written off the possibility that the Pac-12 could get a team in this thing. And I think that's fair. I don't think they will get one, but obviously Oregon is the most likely of those teams to get in. So
yeah, well, they're not going to win today. they're not going to win today. Oregon State's going to pull off the upset. All right, you want to get in. Aaron _ Torres. I'm at Stinkin' Genius One. We'll come back. John Middlecoff will join us, host of the 3 and Out podcast, former NFL scout. Let's talk to him about what's going on in Week 12, make sense about the Baltimore-Pittsburgh rescheduling, and a few other things. That's coming up next as we're sitting in for Jason Smith and Mike Harmon right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
All right, welcome back to the Fox Sports Radio studios. It's brought to you by Geico. Aaron Torres, Arnie Spanier, in for the guys Jason Smith and his best friend Mike Harmon.
Hello.
Oregon State with the touchdown. They get the extra point. They're up 41-38 over Oregon. 33 seconds left in the game. And Oregon State with the 3-point lead. How about that, Torres, huh?
Easily the best Civil War that we've ever been on air for
Yeah, they don't. I don't think they could call that anymore. That's not politically correct.
So do we not call the real Civil War the Civil War? Well, what do we call it? What was
don't
Abraham
get us in
Lincoln?
Trouble on this now. Come on.
What was Abraham Lincoln doing? Was that not a thing?
Well, this is whatever you want to call it, but Oregon State up by 3. All they have to do is make sure that Oregon doesn't get in the field goal range. And all I think about is Jeff Schwartz, who was filling in this morning on Twitter. He put out, I'm not really worried about this game because he went to Oregon. So he put that out there. So I wonder how he's feeling right now, if he's worried about it.
So Jeff Schwartz is allowed to tweet, but every time I tweet, oh, you even paying attention to our show, Torres?
Torres. Just, you know, I have to root against everybody's team. I got to root against your Connecticut team. Got to root against Oregon. I got to root against a lot of people's teams. If my Arizona team is going to be lousy, you know what I mean? Might as well make everybody else lousy out there.
Your Arizona team's like the most successful team that you have, Arizona basketball.
Yeah, Arizona basketball, and they're not going to be all that good this year. But anyway, we'll keep you updated. We'll let you know what's going on. We'll wait for John Middlecoff to call on in, and we'll talk to him about what's going on in the NFL Week 12 as we get through this and maneuver through this. It's going to take a little bit, Torres. We're going to have to, you know, move the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, move the Baltimore-Cowboy game. I think everybody will get 16 games in or close to it, but this is the new 2020. Or as we finish it off, we're going to have to go in. I thought there was a chance they were going to make this like a Week 18 game, as we discussed yesterday, and that means we'd have 8 teams in the playoffs from each conference, and there was a chance that Pittsburgh was going to be the number 1 seed, and Baltimore could have been the 8 seed. There would have been a first-round matchup. How great would that have been, you know?
Not for Pittsburgh, it wouldn't have been. Not because they can't beat them, but they don't get the bye.
Sure.
And I get it. You and I talked a lot about this last night, and I get why fans want the extra game. And I will say, I think the league probably would love to have the extra game, but I do think you have to make an effort to get every game in that you conceivably can, that you possibly can, because I do think it's only fair to the teams that everybody is on as much of an even playing field as possible. I know that sometimes it's not totally possible, but, you know. So.
I don't like that. I think it gives them too much of an unfair advantage to get the whole week off while everybody else is playing and battling it out. I didn't like that at all. Matter of fact, let's get to our guest joining us now. You can check him out at John Middlecoff on Twitter, host of the Three and Out podcast, former NFL scout. John, I was saying, I thought that this Baltimore-Pittsburgh game was going to be moved to like a Week 18. That way we have 8 teams in each conference, and Pittsburgh-Baltimore would have been a first-round matchup. How great would that have been, you know?
I like where your head's at, Arnie. I was thinking that too, but clearly, the NFL is not. You never know with what the league's going to do. I still am a little confused with what's going on. I guess games on Tuesday. Yeah. What about the other games? It's what a crazy year we're in.
John, what did you make of, or what are you hearing about, kind of some of the commentary from the Steelers when this game was ultimately originally pushed back to Sunday, and then, of course, now later in the week? I kind of see both sides, and I kind of see why they're frustrated. It is also an unprecedented situation. Where do you stand on the Steelers being frustrated that a second straight pseudo bye week, second straight Sunday that they would have had off has been taken from them?
Yeah, I mean, I think what they were the most upset at when the game got moved from Thursday to Sunday is they were licking their lips. I mean, the Ravens were in shambles. They were going to give them a knockout punch. I mean, it's their rival. Short week feeds into them, right? They're undefeated. Lamar Jackson is having a major regression year off what he was last year as an MVP. And I think they were just so ready to go, you know. And then it gets pushed back, and then there's just so much unknown. You know, when you're ready, I think in any walk of life, when you're ready to do something and you're confident and you know whatever that job you have to do, you're going to get it done. And then someone kind of pulls the plug. You know, it's human nature to get a little worked up. Even, you know, in this year where it's understandable, like all these guys are got COVID and everything. But, you know, it's not the first time Pittsburgh's gone through it. So maybe they're just a little, you know, I don't want to use the word numb, but you just kind of get used to it, and you just want to plow through it.
John, you mentioned Lamar Jackson. Which is the real Lamar Jackson, last year's MVP or what we're seeing this year? And the answer is, I'll tell you, who would you rather have, Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray? And I know I'd rather have Murray. So we really know that this year's Lamar Jackson is probably the real deal.
Yeah, I mean, without hesitation, you take Kyler Murray. I think this year, you know, maybe he's not as bad as he's been this year. but he's not as good as he was last year.
No.
You know, and that offense just in general, I mean, it was just a historic year. It was a great season, but we saw in the playoffs when he has to throw, he can't do it consistently to win. And that's what Kyler, for example, can do. You know, you're watching him. He makes plays with his legs. Like, there's nothing wrong with making plays with your legs.
No.
But can you win to pass? And Kyler, you know, he can win with his arm. And Lamar is just so hit or miss, you know, and basically their offense is, right, because they get so dependent on the run. But I 100% would take Kyler Murray over Lamar Jackson without hesitation.
So you just brought me to my next question, John. You said you have to pass to win with your arm. Are you concerned at all about what you saw on Monday night from Tom Brady, or is that just the nature of playing 16 games out of 17 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, it was weird to see, right? I mean, seeing Tiger Woods get a 10 on a hole. It doesn't look normal. You know, he's throwing it to the other team. It's not just throwing interceptions, right? It was like the interceptions to guys where no one was even around him. It's like, I've never seen Tom Brady do that. I think the problem is their offense, and what they're asking Tom to do and what Tom's asking himself to do is not what he really does. You know, he I don't want to say dink and dunks you to death, but he eats you alive with quick passes. His running backs catch the ball, and then they take deep shots off that. But he doesn't just throw bomb after bomb after bomb, and clearly he wasn't. I mean, his deep balls weren't even close. He was throwing balls out of bounds. He threw the one ball at the end of the game, obviously, right to the guy, and then the earlier pick where I think Godwin was running a post. I mean, he wasn't even in 10 yards of it. I'm a huge Tom Brady fan, so it was bizarre to see. I don't really like to see that. Like, if that's what it's going to become, I don't want to see it. But I think he's too smart, and Arians, you know, is going to have to not be stubborn. They're going to have to meet in the middle. And the problem, though, is they don't have, like, Julian Edelman's, right? They have deep ball receivers. So, you'd want Patrick Mahomes. You'd want to run deep routes with Godwin and Evans and even Antonio Brown. Think about Antonio Brown all those years with Big Ben throwing bombs and just deep, deep breaking routes. When I think Tom, I think Edelman and Welker and Gronk, you know, and the running backs. So it's kind of the polar opposite of what he's used to doing.
Is this even a big deal? But I'm getting a little tired of Tom Brady's antics, you know, not shaking hands after the game when he loses. I think it's a bad optic. I think it looks bad for him. I never knew that he was such a poor sport about things like that. What do you think, John?
Well, what did Lombardi say? Show me a good loser, I'll show you a loser. You know, I mean, it's like
sounds like Arnie.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, but Belichick's never been a good loser, and you know what? He's not used to losing. You know, these guys get used to winning for 20 years. You don't. I don't make a big deal of him not shaking hands. To me, you know, especially that game, it was so terrible. I just think we're used to seeing all these quarterbacks shake hands because they lose a lot. You know, most quarterbacks, you know, you go 10-6, you lose six games a year. Tom's been winning going 14-2 and 13-3 for 10 straight years.
Well, last one for me. I'll take it a step further. What do you make of Bruce Arians' antics? I mean, you know, we as fans, we've never been inside an organization like you. We as fans take it as, you know, you can get ripped kind of behind the scenes. You can get ripped in the film room, but you don't do it publicly as a coach. Do you have a problem with now the second time this season that Bruce Arians has really come hard at Tom Brady?
No, I'm a big fan of people just being who they are.
Sure.
You know, that's a knock always on the guys that come from Belichick. They try to be like Belichick. Just be who you are.
Sure.
And Arians, his entire life is candid, authentic. He was like this in Arizona. He's been like this last year in Tampa. He's like it this year with Tampa, right? So whether he's coaching Carson Palmer, Jameis Winston, or Tom Brady, he's going to act like he acts. So I respect anyone who's consistent with their actions. Like, if Belichick did this, it'd be weird. If Arians didn't do this, it'd be weird. I think it's just who he is. Now, it's weird because it's Tom, but at the end of the day, Tom, this is where I think sometimes in the media and publicly we make too big a deal of this stuff. Like, what is Belichick known for? Ripping everyone behind closed doors. So they're used to getting yelled at. It's just because it's public. Like, who cares? Like, obviously Tom's throwing picks, and we all could see it. Like, everyone, you know, the 15 million people watching the game all saw it. I mean, I don't think it's a big deal at all.
All right. By the way, you can check him out. Tweet him at John Middlecoff, host of the 3 and Out podcast. John, thanks a lot for staying up with us tonight. Appreciate it. We'll catch up with you later on.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the weekend. See you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
take care, John Middlecoff. You got to check out his podcast, host of the Three and Out podcast. Matter of fact, I want to talk a little bit about Tom Brady and his antics and how bad it looks on him. We'll get to that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Aaron Torres. I'm Arnie Spanier, sitting in for the guys Jason Smith and his best friend Mike Harmon on this day after Thanksgiving. So, Black Friday out there. Hope you did a lot of shopping out there, yeah, Torres?
No, what I was going to say was I was thinking about this during DeSager's update. Tough night for you to be arguing that we should be expanding the college football playoff when the Pac-12 just got eliminated right now in front of our – I mean, by theory, USC and Colorado are still alive, but
– don't even have to take the Pac-12 then if you don't want to take every conference winner. But that's what it's about, though, taking every conference winner and three at-large teams.
You just said you don't have to take the conference winner.
If you don't want to, but that's the way I worked it out. You don't have to be, it's like college basketball. Take every conference winner and then the next three best. That way you're assured of getting at least the top five in there, you know?
So you really think, like, USC deserves to be in the playoff? Like, you watch USC and you think they're the same caliber of team as Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Notre Dame?
No, but I don't think Cincinnati and BYU are, but I would like to see them get a chance.
I'm just saying.
I don't know why you're so, because you're the college basketball guy. I don't know what you've got the problem with.
It's two different sports. We play a best of seven in the NBA Finals. We don't play a best of seven in the Super Bowl because it's two different sports.
I know that, but I mean, aren't you getting a little sick and tired of the same blue bloods in it over and over again? You don't want to give, and I'm not even talking about the little guy. I'm talking about teams that could compete like a BYU or a Cincinnati. Now, granted, you may not think they could win, but, you know, a lot of people said the same thing about Oregon State, Oregon tonight.
Yeah, I guess it's just tough for me when every single year, whoever that fourth team is generally gets blown out. I mean, I would have to go back and look. I don't think we've gotten two good games in any playoff since this thing started. I mean, never forget, last year Joe Burrow and LSU were up 48-14 right. over Oklahoma, right. And Oklahoma's as much of a blue blood, as much as a historical power as anybody. So,
well, if it's going to be a blowout, might as well have eight in it then to get more games, get higher ratings, more money then.
People aren't going to tune in. If they're blowouts, you tune out. You tune on Fox Sports Radio for Spanier and Torres postgame.
at least maybe the earlier games will be close. I mean, there's no perfect system. I'm not sure exactly what you want, though. I don't know why you think less is better when, again, we can get every conference in plus some at large for teams that fall through the cracks. That's what that's for. You know, if a team's going to fall through the cracks, now they can get into an enlargement. I don't see why that's a big deal.
Yeah,
I'm missing it.
Yeah. I think we do this argument every single year, and then every single year, we find ourselves in a situation where, we find ourselves in a situation where teams start losing, and all of a sudden that eight-team playoff that looked perfect, well, that team stinks, that team had an injury, that team lost in their conference championship game, and all of a sudden you really don't have that much interest in watching some of these teams play.
All right, you want to get in Aaron _ Torres. I'm in Stinkin' Genius One. I also wanted to get into Tom Brady because I was wrong. I thought the way Tampa was going, that the best team in the NFC, that Tom Brady was rejuvenated, that he was better than ever. He's not better than ever. He can't throw the deep ball to save his life. I think Bruce Arians actually ripping him in the press conferences is uncalled for. I think you have to go ahead and, you know, have a little bit of respect for the greatest quarterback in the history of the game instead of ripping him in front of, you know, everybody at the press conference and all over the media. I think you handle that behind closed doors. And by the way, if I'm Tom Brady, this has got to be my last year. I'm walking away from the game after this. I don't think it's good to come back for another year.
This of all your takes is just the wildest one to me. It's
why,
like,
is that? That's wild. People
been saying
Tom Brady's.
Four.
People been saying Tom Brady's washed up for a decade now.
I know.
That's wild.
And he's won two or three Super Bowls since then. I'm not saying he's 2008 Tom Brady, but this idea that he's got to retire when they're 7-4, they were 4-7. If he was throwing more picks than Jameis Winston, I'd feel differently. But he's not. They're 7-4. He had one bad game.
He's 43, And he was, what was the stat? 1 for 9 with 2 interceptions on passes, more than 15 yards. And it gets worse after that, Torres. I mean, he's not putting up big numbers. And now people are saying Belichick couldn't win without Brady. Brady can't win without Belichick. He could walk away from the game while he can still walk away, while he's still got his pretty face there and it's not smashed in, or God forbid he doesn't have an injury like Alex Smith. I mean, I don't know what more he can accomplish. He's been to 9 Super Bowls.
Alex Smith just won a game yesterday. We were watching it together on air, basically.
Right. So you think he should go? You're 43. You want to go ahead and risk what happened to that guy?
You know where I stand on this, Arnie. I think if he wants to play and he feels like he's healthy and he feels like he's productive, it's on a
he's
team.
He's not being productive, though. You see it right there.
Oh,
he's not being productive.
He's not being productive. They're 7-4.
I think they would have been 7-4 with Jameis this year.
I saw the Jameis Winston. I lived the Jameis Winston experience, okay? The only difference with this team and that team is Rob Gronkowski. So you're telling me that Jameis Winston is going to take them to, you know, if they're 7-4 now, let's say they finish 10-6, they're going to improve by 3 games because of Gronk, who wouldn't have come back if Tom Brady wasn't there? Stop it.
Gronk is not the difference maker here.
That's what I'm saying. He's the only difference from last year. And now Antonio Brown, but he got there 10 minutes ago.
There you go, Antonio Brown, true. And they also did shore up the offensive line, so that was going to help Jameis also if he would have come on back. I don't think Tom Brady, look, he's doing a good job, but the numbers are questionable. I don't know why you're so defensive when you take a look at them. I think a lot of people are saying that he should retire after this year based on what he's doing right now.
Who is saying he should retire after this year? But like who is saying he has to, because that's what you're saying, he has to retire. Who is saying that besides you and Rob Parker?
I was saying Rob Parker. I heard him say that.
Yeah, okay.
Rob Parker doesn't count or what?
I mean, wow. Two people. How big is the media? How many people are in the media now? And we got two people saying that he should retire.
What, Rob Parker and I are the only two people in the media saying that? Wait, you're telling me Rob Parker and I are the only two people on the face of the earth that think that the best days of Tom Brady's passed him by, and after this year you should just say, thank you, world, I'm going to go on the TB12? Are you serious?
Okay,
you
so serious? What happens if he makes the Super Bowl? He
well,
still should retire?
Story. People have left as their last game being the Super Bowl, Peyton Manning. You know that, don't you?
I'm aware. I was there. He asked for some Bud Light after the game, or Budweiser. He wanted a cold Budweiser. I watched the whole thing.
Tyler says if Tampa wins that game, we all be saying Tom has a few years left in him. He looks great,
Thank you.
The second he loses, he's all washed up.
Tyler, what are you doing the rest of the night? You want to come host the show with me? I need a smart, competent co-host. Sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
You want to get in Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinking Genius 1. When we get back, the Sager's going to have more details on that Ohio State-Illinois cancellation. That's coming up next as we're sitting in for Jason Smith and Mike Harmon right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
All right, welcome back to the Fox Sports Radio studios. This segment brought to you by Geico. As we sit in for the guys, Jason Smith and his best friend Mike Harmon. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Arnie Spanier. Let's check in with the Sager. More information, what's going on with the Ohio State-Illinois cancellation. What's going on, the Sager?
The Buckeyes have paused all team-related activities indefinitely. Additional positive tests revealed tonight, so no Ohio State at Illinois game. The earlier story was that the head coach had tested positive, Ryan Day, so he was not going to travel with the team. And then the team decided, we're not traveling today. We're going to wait to fly to Champaign in the morning due to additional testing. Well, they got the testing back, and it's more virus cases, and so
why was he going to go?
No, he was not going to go.
Okay.
It was going to be assistant Larry Johnson going to run the team Saturday at Illinois.
Right.
So now the Buckeyes are stuck at 4-0. Remember, they missed a game earlier in the season because of an opponent's COVID cases, and Ohio State only has 2 games left on the schedule. The decision tonight was made, of course, with the athletic director, Gene Smith, but also the university president, the head team physician, and in consultation with the Big Ten Conference. So they made the announcement tonight. The coach is in isolation anyway, but they said, we've continued to experience an increase in positive tests over the course of this week. The program will only resume team activities when the medical staff determines that it's safe to do so at Ohio State based on the Big Ten protocol. So it's not like they're automatically back to practice on Monday or Tuesday with this. Keep that in mind. So they're not playing tomorrow, and we'll see about the last two games, Michigan State
and
Michigan.
Good luck on the next
one
after
first
that.
Two Saturdays of December. Meanwhile, tonight we had the upset of Oregon State knocking the whole Pac-12 out of any consideration for the college football playoff. 15th-ranked Oregon losing on the road to the rival 41-38. In the rivalry that's no longer called the Civil War, that was decided by both universities over the summer. And their reasoning, I get, they said the Civil War involved slavery and it also involved the division of America, and the university said those are two things we don't want to be associated with. What I would have liked is they had all summer come up with something else.
Did I get Arnie fired for saying Civil War? Because I just want to make sure, because if he's out.
You referenced Lincoln, that was fine. There was an actual Civil War with good reason, so that's just fine.
So Arnie's not fired then, because I said, because
no,
I called this.
Maybe for other reasons, but
Sorry.
But the crazy ending at Oregon State tonight, among the many crazy things that happened, including the fog for most of three quarters, was Oregon State trailing in the game in the final minute, had a second and goal at the 2-yard line. The quarterback kept it and got to the one.
Then, he got in on that play, I thought. But
I
whatever.
Thought so, too. Yeah. But just because the ball disappeared, you could tell that he landed on the small of his back on the goal line. There's no way, as Daniel Jeremiah put it, we know that the ball's probably not between his ankles, so why aren't you calling this a touchdown? Half of him got in, and the ball's probably right at his stomach. But no. So they try it again. Quarterback sneak, third and goal at the Oregon one. He not only didn't make it, but he injures his hamstring and has to hop off the field. He didn't even make it all the way off. And then
because there was an offsides that they didn't call on that
play. Exactly. Someone jumped right from the defensive line over the center and not called. Pac-12 officiating again.
Horrible.
And remember, there was the problem with the clock, and do we charge Oregon State with the timeout? And then we come back for a fourth and goal from the one, and they have to use the backup quarterback, and he snicks it in, and they upset Oregon.
Great
41-38.
Game.
It's just crazy. Meanwhile, speaking of crazy, who's first place in the Big 12 Conference? It's the Iowa State Cyclones. Ahead of Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, anyone else you could name, 7-1 in conference. They were down at Texas 20-10 late in the third quarter today. Iowa State scored the go-ahead TD with about a minute and a half left. 23-20 the final, because the Longhorns just missed a 58-yard field goal attempt on the final play. It had the distance, barely wide left. Texas, and this is key, went for it with about 8 minutes to go and was stopped on 4th-and-2 in the red zone. They decided not to kick the field goal, and they lost by 3. And Notre Dame is still undefeated. They shut out the Tar Heels at North Carolina in the second half for a 31-17 final. North Carolina, the last 9 drives, had just 7 first downs in this game. The Notre Dame defense sacked them 6 times, so the Irish are 9-0. Their only games left are against Syracuse and Wake, and then we assume an ACC title game. It looks like Iowa State is in the Big 12 title game. It could be Iowa State, Oklahoma. It's something to talk about on the Sunday night show with Plank.
Oh, I love it. All right, thanks to Sager. 2 hours are in the books. Not only do we have the Power Hour coming up next, remember we got the bonus hour too, because Smith and Harmon do a 4-hour show. So we got that coming up. You want to be part of the show? Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinkin' Genius One. Power Hour coming up next. We'll get the Week 12 all next here on Fox Sports Radio.